Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Valparaiso and all over Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. By the way, our music theme is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster.
We love them both so much, and thank you for doing that for us.
And they had a great concert at The Nest.
Gosh, it was so brilliant, wasn't it?
It was excellent. We were both there. Obviously, Hester would be there, but I made sure to be there. But that was great. By the way, our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic technical building, call them at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. And we thank them both for their generous support. Always like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, for getting us on the air.
Extraordinary, Greg.
Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or appear in a wide variety of things that we're expanding our format, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you can't hear us over the air or it's not real clear, you can hear us there all the time. Art on the Air is rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m. And our show archive can be heard. So you can hear every show that we've done for almost a year. And we're coming up on our one-year anniversary. On October 4th, we have our one-year anniversary. But you can hear it rebroadcast, and you can hear this all anytime you want at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And you also find out our arts events calendar there, so you can do that. And there's hyperlinks, so you can go right there. Shows are carried by WIUN, Red Hawk Radio, IUN's online closed-circuit station. So you can hear us there. By the way, if you're a listener, we'd like you to become a supporter, not only of just Art on the Air, but the show as a whole. We would look for that. We are especially always looking for underwriters of either Art on the Air specifically or the station. There's several different levels individuals can contribute to, because we are a community station. We don't get any large funding. We don't run commercials. So check that out at wvlp.org/support, and you can find out what level you do that, and we'd be happy to mention you on the air. We don't want you just to be a listener. We want you to be a supporter of the station. And I say this every week, and it's so true. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Well, we're going to start with the arts calendar, and we have Porter County to start with, Valparaiso University, Center for the Arts, Brower Museum. Well, this next weekend, they have their opening reception, September 6th, at Friday at 7 p.m., and they will have the Betty LaDuke Social Justice Revisited, Sue Kwok, the Cosmic Light Series, Mark Fletcher. They'll be having a whole series of different things on that opening reception at the Brower Museum. You can find the link online. Village Gallery at the Pines that has Kimberly Jensen Stout. She has a 2D multimedia art and on exhibit through the middle of September. A great little venue to go see it. The Pines Village is a retirement community, but you are welcome to see the art anytime. Just go in, tell them at the desk, and you can go see their beautiful little gallery. Chesterton Art Center. Well, they artist couple Laura Isard and Ed Shelton, they'll be doing their new exhibit there. They have two distinct approaches and expressions for structure of quilts. That will be opening on September 8th, running through the 27th. There will be an opening on Sunday, September 8th, from 2 to 4 p.m. And they're donating 25% of their sale of artworks to The Ugly. That's the UGLY. It's an exceptional non-for-profit with a mission of preventing bullying.
That's a really, so wonderful organization.
It sure is. There are so many things going on at Chestnut Arts Center, so I'm going to just refer you to their website. They are starting up like 22 new classes for kids, adults, and everything of all different kinds, stained glass. But one thing, Mark Vanderwine's Critique Night's coming up next Wednesday at 7:30. But they have two new children's instructors, children through high school, I should say, children and young adults that they have. So they got a whole wide variety of new classes. Too numerous to list here, but they have the great thing on their website. And they send us things to our email, by the way, so we keep up. Art Barn.
Our lonely email.
Well, it's getting fuller, though. There's a few more in there.
That's true.
Laura Izards is finishing up at her exhibit there. It's called Embroidering the Imagination. So she's in two spaces. And at the gallery space, Pastel Paintings by Robin Feely. That's at the Art Barn. Artsy Fine Art and Antique. Well, September 4th and September 5th, they have a beach resin class, frame beach resin class on the 4th and on acrylic pour. Both of them are at 6 p.m. You can find that link on our events page. The Depot Museum and Art Gallery continues with Keeping the Past Present. That exhibit goes through, I think, the middle of September or to the end of September. And so you can see that. That's the Little Depot Museum right along US 12 South Shore Station. So you can get there. Great little exhibit. Right nearby, right around the corner, the Ellen Firm Gallery. We have Yanko Kasafinov, and he's running through the middle of September. And finally, Memorial Opera House. Well, they're actually dark right now. They're not doing any major production, but they're getting geared up for the Mousetrap that will open September 27th and runs through October 13th. Find information about what they have going on there at the Memorial Opera House. So now we'll move on to your area.
LaPorte County. In LaPorte, there's the Thaddeus C. Gallery. I don't have current information, but I just wanted to let you know that they're there in downtown LaPorte. Dune Summer Theater, their show right now is Working, and they have shows on the 30th or 31st, and then September 1st, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Performances on Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m.
And we're going to have them on next week.
I know, it's going to be exciting. Based on the book by the late Chicago journalist Studs Terkel, Working is a revised version of the Tony-nominated musical Working. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists, Before and After. And that exhibit runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. The Rising Phoenix Gallery, their exhibit, which is in the last few days, is called Fun and Games by Terry Duncan, and it's mixed media pieces that includes paintings and found objects suspended in layers of cast resin. SFC Gallery is exhibiting the original watercolors by Terry Armstrong through the end of the month. Southern Shore Art Association is also winding up their exhibit titled Travel, Places and Faces. And do you still have the call for artists out, or is that
it's technically
done?
Closed, so now we have drop off on Sunday. And then I'll be hanging the show next week and getting all ready, getting all the little place cards done. So yeah, and we open on September 6th is what it is?
September 6th, yes.
First Friday.
Excellent. All right. Blink Contemporary Art, they will be open for First Friday in September with new work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. So check that out on First Friday. The Nest, our new exhibit by Robert Serco, Me, Myself, and Eyes. It is his recent paintings and drawings. It's a really beautiful exhibit. Drum Circle at 6:30 p.m. with Don Wenig, and that's now every First Friday. So come see the art and pick up a drum and join us. Try it out. On September 21st, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. That's a monthly program. Open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Tonight, August 30th at 5:30 p.m. with Christy Putnam, we have a free Tai Chi Easy and Qigong class. This will be the second one, and oh boy, the first one was so great. So come and try it out. It's a free class. Saturday, September 14th is Writing Out Loud program in collaboration with the Michigan City Public Library, and all those details are on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page.
Lots of things going on.
LaPorte, yes.
Very good. Well, we're going to move on to Lake County. 119th Street Artists, they're going to be wrapping up their final exhibit, Beyond the Eye Is You, featuring the artwork of Sarah P. Conrad, Dawn Dinatopoulos, and Nainlay Price. So that's ends September 13th, and then they're done. And the organization, the artists will go find new places to exhibit.
They will.
Yes. So, but the group, as that title is going to dissolve, unfortunately. But a lot of them will move down the street to Studio 659 in Whiting. Bump in the Night, as they have a call for art that's due on September 20th. Their current exhibit is Metropolination, and they'll be running through about mid-September. That's about urban planting trees, flowers that grow in the city, urban farming, so whatever like that. Again, their website is on our events page. South Shore Arts, well, they are still continuing the Bachman Gallery for just a little bit while. The final weekend for the Tales from the Biosphere from Ray McGinnis. So you can see that. Atrium Gallery through September 8th, the Straight Shooters. Toll Theater, which is part of the South Shore Arts, and we'll still have Annika Decker, Between the Real and Imagined. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point, Joel Tomaszak, Then and Now. And their annual salon show will be opening on September 14th. So you can see that. That's a great annual event and great art. I know they had over 300 and some submissions, of which my three did not make it, but that's okay. That's how these things work. But it's okay. But the salon show is always a treat to go to and everything. 61, the exhibit at the 61st National Park, the Welcome Center on I-80 and Kennedy Avenue in Hammond. And that will continue through September 24th. And it's like 12 different trail stops, great for the kids, like almost a sandbox, like representing our Indiana Dunes National Park. So it's a great thing. Meet Miller Beach Arts and Creative District will feature the photography of Miller resident Martha Marty Bowen. 75 of her photographs from Nepal, India, Cuba, Morocco will be on display from September 6th. So that'll be opening on Friday through October 6th at the Marshall J. Gardner Center. Information again on our events page. Southlake Artist Cooperative, SLAC, as I like to be called. They continue with their texture at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point, and China Cat Sunflowers is at the Sip Coffee House 2 in Highland. And so that the first Sip Coffee House is in Crown Point. And there are two calls for art. One that's due by the 23rd is called Word, W-O-R-D, and then Crackle, due October 14th. And they're only on Facebook, but you can find the link there and also email. Theater at the Center. Well, they are right now just a little bit dark. They just had their Karen Carpenter salute, but they're coming up, gearing up for the next musical, The Pajama Game. That'll be coming on September 12th, and they'll be running for about a month. So that's a great show. Not always known by a lot of people, but Steam Heat is one of the great shows. Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon, you know, were in the motion picture and involved with the stage production of that. So you can kind of a great revival. Definitely a 50s feel to the thing, so it's a period piece. And finally, the Lakeshore Community Concerts, formerly known as the Munster Community Concerts, and I worked with these people for many years when I was the Auditorium and Theater Director at Munster. They begin their sixth concert season with Shades of Michael Bublé, opening on September 12th at Munster Auditorium, that's at the high school. And you can go for $75, you can get the entire season of six shows. So they got the link on there. It's really
that's
a great
really,
party.
Yeah.
When I was there, we were sold out and sometimes oversold, which I think they got in trouble with me for doing. I said, you can't oversell a theater. But nevertheless, it's great. So they now go by Lakeshore Community Concerts, and it's great, great entertainment. I looked at their entire thing. And so we'll bring you up to date, and we hope to have Christine Small on at some point, who is like the president of the organization, talk about what they're about. So, hey, where's your event? Did you not get it? Well, you need to email us at artontheair, wvlp@gmail.com. You know, send us that. Send us information like that. We'll be happy to get it on the arts events calendar. If you're interested in being on the show, we'd love to talk to you about what's going on. We cover the three county areas, as you just heard, Lake, Porter, and LaPorte. So
visual arts, writing arts, musical arts,
we have
art,
a lot of
therapy, everything.
We're even going to be horsing around today.
So
anyway, and you'll get that as we go into it. So anyway, that's what we'd love to hear. Well, here's our guest. She's the founder and director of this wonderful thing, and we're going to let her talk about Stacy Garcelon.
Yes.
I got it right. How about that? You know, I forgot to ask that before.
It's because you didn't ask it.
I know. That's why. So I had to fake it, right? She's the founder and director of this wonderful outlet. And I'm going to let her talk about the whole idea here. And also, we have some new things with art and things. So, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, tell us about, just briefly tell us about you. We want to know, like, where you grew up, where you went to school,
Okay.
You know, your journey.
All right. Well, I grew up in Sacramento, California.
And you came to Indiana.
And I came to Indiana. I absolutely love it here. I spent the majority of my life in California, spent 5 years in Texas prior to finding heaven on earth here. So I let's see, where do I start? I went to Rio Americano High School. Had a wonderful experience in California. I loved it there. When I was 16, I had a near-death car accident, which really threw the trajectory of my life off course a bit, which plays into why I'm doing what I do now. So my career was spent in large part for the state of California. For 16 years, I worked for the Department of Social Services and Child Welfare Systemic Reform. And then I moved to Texas and worked for adults with disabilities. And then I came, I went through a divorce and realized that the states didn't recognize civil service. They didn't reciprocate. So I knew I needed to go back to school. So I decided that, what did I love, right? What did I? What was I passionate about? And couple that with what I'm good at. And so I looked into, I had been doing social work for the majority of my career, and I knew I wanted to help people heal. And then I looked back at what I loved as a child, and I've always been, I really loved animals and horses. And
well,
and
did then, you, was there, in your high school, was there a riding program? When,
no.
What was your first experience with
a
horse?
Well, I did volunteer when I was 14. I volunteered for Barbara Worth Stables in Sacramento, and in exchange for lessons. So that was, that was my first exposure to, well, not my first. There were horses down the road from the house I grew up in. And this is an example of my first advocacy. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I would walk down there and go visit this horse. And I actually climbed over the fence and would feed this horse and take care of this horse. And then I actually, they frowned upon this, but I called the SPCA because I had created this story in my head that this horse was being neglected, which it wasn't, but I was very protective of this horse. So I called the SPCA. The SPCA actually came to my house and interviewed me and my parents, and I was applauded for being an advocate, but also admonished for jumping the fence because that's very dangerous for an 8-year-old. So the homeowners of that house then put up a higher fence. But I did love that horse. And in hindsight, knowing what I know now about horse therapy, that horse met me where I was at. I was grieving the loss of my grandfather at that time. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my horse journey. So.
Okay. And whereabouts were you in Texas?
Because I was in the suburbs of Houston.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good, because it's a big state.
Yes,
so.
It is. Yes. And it's hot and less hot, and that's about it.
I know. My son was in Kingsville, which is way down south.
Uh-huh.
He was a base commander for Naval Air Station there. When we visit him there, it's like nasty hot. So you what brought you then to Indiana?
The heat in Texas.
Well, that's a good reason.
So my parents had some property up here in Indiana to escape the Texas summers, and so I came up for a barn party. They had built a barn with no intention of getting horses, because it was just their summer home, and they liked the aesthetics of the barn. So we came up for a barn party, and I met neighbors, and I met my one neighbor, and she says, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm going back to school. I'm going to be a counselor. I'm going to study equine-assisted psychotherapy." And she says, "Oh, you should go check out Reins of Life." And so my neighbor and I, we bonded. I really like her. And then I go to Reins of Life, and I meet another person there I really like. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, I can work anywhere. I really like it here, and it's beautiful. And so I'm kind of thinking this to myself. And meanwhile, my 12-year-old daughter says to me out of the blue, "Mom, why can't we just live here?" And I thought, well, who in the world wants to move across the country twice? So I said, well, let me see. So I went to my parents. I said, "How do you feel about me moving into your summer home?" And they actually said yes. So that's what we did. I went back to Texas, gave my 2-week notice, and in 2 weeks I moved across the country with my daughter. So.
How beautiful.
That's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how your journey brings you someplace. So
mm-hmm. The doors opened and here I am.
So. So tell us about how you developed this whole thing. You've now moved to La Porte, correct?
Yes, I moved to La Porte.
And so how did you how did you develop into doing horses and getting horses and the whole journey there?
It was quite serendipitous, actually, because, like I said, I'd never owned horses in my life. And here I am now in this new state and living in someone else's home with this empty barn. And so I'm volunteering at Reins of Life, which is an excellent organization, by the way. It's fabulous. And I'm volunteering there, and my aunt and I are harvesting honey in her garage, and I'm talking about Reins of Life and how horses get donated, and what my plans are for I want to work with horses. And I said, well, you know, but I don't know how I'm ever going to get this horse. And she says, well, you could be a nonprofit. And I thought, really? I'm like, huh. So then I looked into becoming a nonprofit, and I applied on a Friday, and by Monday I was approved.
Wow.
And so that was another door that just opened.
Fast.
I thought, yes.
Fast.
From what I understand, that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I might be onto something here. This might be a need in the community. And it is. It's just phenomenal how the therapeutic bonding of a horse, what that can bring. So I'm excited to be a part of the community and being a part of bringing that to people.
So how did you get the horses?
So I had someone that purchased our first horse for us, and when we started on Amkara, we were using my friend's horses, the friend that I met at the barn the very first time before I decided to move here. So we were using her horses. She decided to come with me to the EGALA training, and we both went together and got certified in EGALA, which is Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association. So we went together and we started there, and we just started grassroots, just word of mouth, and just really following our passion.
And so how many horses do you have?
We now have 5 horses. Well, we have 3 regular size horses and 2 minis.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So we have a herd.
You have a herd.
Yes. They're a beautiful herd.
And we have 3 goats and 2 dogs.
My daughter. My
it seems like more goats than 3.
I know my daughter
they
is
are a big presence.
In Kentucky is raising goats. Mm-hmm. She's an industrial engineer, but she built a tiny house. Mm-hmm. And so she loves them like pets. It's like, oh, I love you.
They are. I never ever thought I would have goats. But again, my aunt said, you know, I really would like some goat cheese. So mm-hmm. now we have goats.
So tell us a little bit about what your organization does. It is mm-hmm. Anamkara.
Anamkara.
Okay.
It's Gaelic for soul friend. The Celts have a belief that everyone is born with what they refer to as a soul friend, someone that journeys with them on a path of self-discovery, and that person is free of any judgment. They don't give advice. They are just there as a companion along that journey. And so for me, horses have been that. They don't provide advice or judgment or anything like that. They just provide that space for you to
and they'll
discover.
Come and give you a hug if
yes.
they feel like it.
They will.
I know, it's so
and
sweet.
And they will call you out if you're not being authentic to who you are. So I appreciate, and they do that in a very gentle way. So I appreciate that about them. So Anamkara provides emotional healing for emotional wounds. I especially am passionate about helping people heal from trauma. That's my background. And so we do that by providing equine-assisted psychotherapy, the EGALA model, and other healing modalities. So it really incorporates a lot of alternative healing modalities, as well as working with medical providers and that sort of thing.
Okay, so take me through like someone who comes to you with a trauma and mm-hmm. how that whole process works.
Okay, so for individual therapy with the horses, someone would call and make an appointment, that sort of thing, and I would tell them about the EGALA model. So how our process is a bit different than a different experience for traditional talk therapy, which I also provide. But when you do a session with the horses, the EGALA model is founded on 3 or 4 foundations. The first foundation is it's a team approach. So that includes a mental health professional, an equine specialist, and a horse at every session. The second is that it's client-centered. This is probably my very favorite of the 4 foundations. What that means when I say client-centered is I mean that we sincerely believe that each and every client has a solution within themselves. So if we provide the space for them to discover that, that's our role. So as we are not seen as the experts or here to give you advice, but we're here to hold space for you. So that's the second of the foundations. The third of the foundation is that there's no writing involved. It's all based on groundwork. And there's several reasons for that. But one of the ones I want to highlight is that that's because the relationship of you with that horse is on equal footing. Literally, you're both on the ground. So you're not on the horse's back, because then that changes the relationship between you and that horse. The other reason is that if you're on the ground with the horse is free to be a horse. We don't have him tied up. The horse is free to then interact with you or not. He can walk away if he chooses. So that helps to provide some opportunities for self-reflection and for the client to be able to go inward into what's really going on inside of them. And then the fourth is that we're held to a high professional standard of ethics. So we're held to the same ethical standards as the American Psychology Association, National Association of Social Workers, and so forth. So the counseling session, even though it's out in the arena with the horses, is a legitimate counseling session that's held to the same standards of confidentiality and HIPAA requirements and all of that. So that's why the mental health professional has that credential as well.
So this is something that someone could come to you. I don't know, how does payment work? But like insurance, things like that?
At this time, we don't accept insurance, okay. But we hope to. What we can do is provide a receipt, and so some people have used their health savings account.
Okay.
And some people have asked their insurance providers for reimbursement. I just can't guarantee that
they'll do that.
They'll do
sure.
that.
Mm-hmm. And just as a curiosity, outside of the healing, are the horses ever rideable, or these
yes.
are okay?
Yeah, they're rideable.
I couldn't imagine having horses there and outside the therapy. Hey, let's go for a ride, because like you said, there's a different dynamic there. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes a rider with a horse, that's another kind of bonding, a different
kind.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful kind, and that's one of the things that there's other agencies that can go do that, and I can refer, like we have a sister barn that transitions right down the street that provides really fabulous riding lessons and times to trail rides and that sort of thing. So that's one of the things that I did, that I wanted to be able to support other agencies
sure.
within the community.
So take me through some of the options if I come to you with a trauma or something like that. I mean, you did an individual. You also do groups?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do groups. We do couples. We do families. I also do traditional talk therapy. I have a therapy office there on the property. And we do, I am able to provide EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And that's evidence-based practice for the healing of trauma. So we also do, for the equine-assisted psychotherapy, we do corporate events. So agencies can come in and we can do team building or strategic planning and that sort of thing. That's a lot of fun. So.
This seems like it would be something excellent for, especially kids, but anyone on like the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So have you worked with that? Or
I haven't personally. We can and we do. We have had other intellectual disabilities come to us, and that's where we often will partner with Reins of Life, because Reins of Life has a really special and specialized program for individuals with disabilities that they
do. And where is Reins of Life?
There's two locations. There's one in Michigan City and one in South Bend.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. I ran into an old friend of mine that works with horse therapy, and I can't remember where it was from. I just saw him at an event, and we were talking about it. I said, we're going to have someone on our show about this. I think they're more concentrated on veterans. So,
well, we do. We also serve veterans.
Okay.
The main difference, the only thing that Reins of Life and Autumn Carr have in common is that, well, two things. We work with horses, and we're both exceptional. So we work with different populations. So Reins of Life works with individuals and adults with disabilities, and we work with anybody, you don't need a diagnosis to come see us. But we do work with veterans. I did my internship and advanced practicum at the South Bend Vet Center, so I'm really, that's near and dear to my heart to be able
right.
to provide services to the veterans. And we provide services to veterans and their families at no cost to them.
Oh, excellent.
Because it's such a hard thing to reach out for help, and I didn't want there to be any barrier, so.
You're listening to WVLP, Art on the Air, 103.1 FM, also being heard on WIUN, Red Hawk Radio. So we'll continue with our conversation here. You have your little stable of horses mm-hmm. and everything. that becomes quite a job taking care of these.
Yes.
So what's that daily routine about?
That daily routine is fabulous. I have the world's best barn maintenance coordinator. Her name is Ayana, and she is my daughter. And she really is fantastic. She takes that job very, very, she's very responsible. So she and I together will muck the stalls and groom the horses and feed the horses daily, twice a day. But she is on it, so I'm very proud of her.
Well, speaking of your daughter, this is kind of a, I was looking at the website, a family business.
Yes.
It really
yes.
is. So tell us some of the rest of your family that's involved in what they do.
So as a nonprofit, first started up when my aunt suggested, she goes, you could be a nonprofit. I said, oh. And so I looked into what was required, and it only required three people. So I'm like, I can find three people. and I didn't know what I now know about the challenges of having family members on the board. Now, they're all very supportive, so that's not the challenge. The challenge is that it's not necessarily the most strategic move to make. So so while they are very supportive, we are in the process of recruiting new board members.
So if you're interested in being on board, you know, contact Stacey. So you have, I see what your president, Anne, is a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm. She's a medical doctor. And then I have Carmen Velasquez is our vice president. And both she and Anne started Alivio Medical Center in Chicago. So they have a wealth of information on starting nonprofits and that sort of thing.
Very good. And some young lady sitting here is also part of your program.
My mom, Catherine Garcelon, she has a wealth of information from working for the state of California in grants and that sort of thing. So I recruited her and her expertise. And then my dad, Webb Garcelon, is our accountant because his career was in accounting for the oil companies in Texas.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then I see you have another Suzanne Sheehy.
Suzanne Sheehy. She is a retired principal for Chicago schools, and she does emotional tapping. And she travels the world teaching that. So she is really a great asset because she also works, she knows the vocabulary of working with school systems and getting work into the schools. So one of the programs that we offer at Onamkara is horse-powered reading.
Ah.
So it's engaging children that are having difficulties reading and providing that passion for reading by making it fun and by really helping them learn how to overcome challenges, how to not give up. So that program in a nutshell is the horses become their reading buddy, and then they create they use sight words and they create this reading road, and they lead the horses down reading road, and then at the end of the five-week program, they end up writing their own story, and then they read the story to their horse. So,
oh, that's neat. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about some of your staff people. You already talked about your daughter. But
So I have equine specialist Colleen McNamara. She's fabulous. Sandy Cogswell is the friend that started this journey with me. She was the one I met at the barn that I referenced earlier. And then we have Ayla Batten, who is our media representative. And I don't have my website in front of me, so I know I'm missing people.
There's a Kathy Allwine.
Kathy Allwine. She's fantastic. She's our consultant for grant writing. And then I have Teresa Beck. She's another equine specialist. I have
Terry Mays,
and I have Sandy, her last name, Sandy Mortensen. They're both licensed clinical social workers, and so they provide another mental health person on the team.
And then Michelle Boardman?
Michelle Boardman is also our newspaper media specialist.
IT director.
Yeah, IT
director. So, that's quite an outfit now.
I have great support, great team, really fantastic people.
So coming there, and like I said, there's no necessarily medical reimbursement, but you know, give us an idea of like what a cost of a therapy might be. Like you said, the 5 week session, what would that might be?
Okay, so an individual session is typically $150, and that gives you the mental health professional, the equine specialist, and the horse. We do offer a sliding scale for people that can't afford that, because one of the reasons I went nonprofit was I wanted to be able to provide services to everybody,
right,
regardless of income. So So that that's available. And then the work groups like the horse-powered reading and different workshops, those have different prices associated with those.
So that's actually fairly affordable when you consider types of therapies that you would go to and everything like that. So when did you start this up? I mean, you know, how recent is this?
2016.
So this is really very recent.
Yeah. But it's responsive to the needs in the community. And so so as we see what things that need to be, and as doors begin to open, we say, how can we meet that need? And so there we offer things like a heard meditation.
And I was going to mention that. That's a really beautiful experience.
Thank you.
Explain what that is.
That is a donation base, so anybody can come. There's absolutely no expectation or obligation to give, but it's an opportunity to come and experience some inner peace and inner quiet in the same time in the presence of the horses. So what that format looks like is we come together and we gather together in a circle, well, a semicircle, because we like to look at the horses as we do it. And then we are guided through a slightly guided meditation. We do some breathing and grounding exercises, and then we transition into a silent meditation with the horses. And then people are free to experience whatever it is that they need at that time. And then at the end of about 45 minutes, we then reconvene and have an opportunity to share, if you want to share what that experience was like. And oftentimes people will share, and then what they share is either validated or expands another person's experience. Or the two people have very different experiences, and so they can contrast that as well.
And then there's the whole dynamic of the horses interacting with each other, too, which mm-hmm. is, of course, based on what's going on with who's in there with them. So it's really very interesting mm-hmm. dynamic.
Go to the nest for your drum therapy, circle therapy, and then go with the horse around, right?
That's right.
So, any ideas on expansion of this? I mean, you're brand new. I mean, you're just in it for a couple of years now, or a few years.
Mm-hmm. The vision is we will be building an indoor arena. So we'll be raising funds to build that, and that will enable us to be able to provide services year round, even in inclement weather. And so the vision is to be able to build up to be self-sustaining, so that once I retire, it can continue on within the community.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so do you have like large donors? You're obviously as a non-for-profit looking for donors and underwriters.
Yes, absolutely. So we have our first major fundraiser coming up in November. It's going to be a fall festival.
Oh, I know. It looks fabulous.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
It's going to be very exciting.
So we'll have the herd meditation, a demonstration of what we do, the equine-assisted psychotherapy. We have a drum circle coming up. We have the labyrinth that we're building, a bonfire. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other things, some live music and some vendors.
Is it at the farm?
It'll be at the farm, mm-hmm. yeah.
Where is the farm?
It's on 1000 North in LaPorte. It's about a mile east of Heston's Bar and Grill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if people just want to come out and check it out, you know, without really saying, oh, I just want to see what this is like, they can do that.
They can do that. They can drive by. I encourage them to call and make an appointment so that I'm there and I can give them a tour. But, yeah, we're right there. So.
Excellent. You have some upcoming events?
I do.
Well, let's go over some of those.
All right. So I have, particularly relevant to the topic of art on the air, is the AHA course that's coming up in October. And that's art and horse-assisted healing workshop. So I'm really looking forward and excited about that. What we do then is we will gather and we'll do some reflection. We'll talk about what trauma is and how that manifests in the body, and then we will do some art pieces, and then we will spend some time with horses, and then we will come back and either continue with the art piece, make whatever changes we need to, or create an entirely new piece. It's really up to the individual. And then we'll go back out and spend some time with the horses. That was that model of workshop was created by Ulla Fredrickson, who's also an Egala trainer and facilitator, and she's in the Sundance Center up in Michigan. And she very enthusiastically said it was okay that we modeled this after her. So I'm grateful for that.
So can you describe your experience with it when you did it?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I went as a participant, and knew that I needed some of my own healing. So I went and very consciously took off my therapist hat, right? So I went as a participant, and I have absolutely no, I don't consider myself very artistic. So I've since learned that everybody is an artist. Mm-hmm. But I went with my old self-critical hat on. So I went very critical, not sure I could do any art, but knew I could hang out with the horses. And I went and did a piece that reflected my trauma. And it was dark and sad. And I went out and spent time with the horses. And I was disappointed because I wanted them to interact with me. And interestingly enough, they did not want to interact with me. And so then we broke. We went back for lunch. I did some journaling. And I decided that I wanted to burn my piece. So I burned that piece that represented the trauma that I was working through. And I recreated a different piece that for me was much lighter and symbolic of growth. And then when I went out to spend time with the horses, they were right up close and personal and engaging. And I it was just remarkable to me.
So what kind of art supplies were provided? Like what was...
All different kinds of art supplies. I used the... I now know is acrylic. Mm-hmm. I didn't know then. They had pencils, and they had watercolor, and they had...
So was it mostly paper, or did they have canvas?
She had canvases available, and I think most people use the canvases. Mm-hmm. You could also do paper and pencil and that sort of thing. So what I plan on bringing to Anamkara is the same type of thing, like just different modalities that people can use to speak to
them. So before you interact with the horses, you make your piece of art? Is that
mm-hmm.
it?
Okay. Yeah.
So are they... Were you outside for this then, or was the art...
We were in the barn at her place, mm-hmm. and then my place will be outside. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so we have a rain date in case there's rain that day. There's a rain date as well.
So, excellent.
Looking forward to that.
Tell us about the Igala process going through that and training. I mean, you did touch on it a little bit, mm-hmm. but you go into this thing, and so tell us about that journey of actually the training that's involved.
Oh, the training, the Igala training?
Right.
Oh, it's fantastic. So... I went into 5 days of training, and at that time they had it in two separate sections. Now I believe it's a 5 full days. But you go in, and the process is really to unlearn some of the things that we've learned about horses. So to really go in and to unlearn some of that preconceived ideas of
what are some of those preconceived ideas?
Horses are big and scary. Horses are unsafe. Or, some of those things that we go in that I need to protect myself. And now we unlearn that, and we go in and be mindful of consent, and be mindful of, as a sentient being, how do we interact with this as co-facilitators, right? So. And those are my words, I think. I don't think that's exactly how Igala would put it, but I think they'd agree. So part of the training is that. And then part of the training, because you go in as the participants are either mental health or equine specialists or a person with both qualifications. So the training is then provided for both populations. So it covers the trauma aspect and what mental health is, and then it also covers how the role of the equine specialist in this. And the role of the equine specialist is there to provide for emotional safety of the horse as well as physical safety of the humans. So the two roles are the mental health professional provides the mental health aspect and the emotional safety of the participants. I just described the equine specialist role, and so that's really the partnership and the team approach, which is really beneficial, because then you have that team of insight to be able to help with that client.
So when somebody comes to work with the horse with Igala, are they introduced to the whole herd, or is it one horse, or what's the dynamic?
It really depends. It depends on quite a number of factors, but what I like to do, my preference, and always in consultation with my equine specialist, is to find out how the herd is doing, and if all herd members are up to it, to to provide the client with the opportunity to meet the whole herd, and then see which horse they feel drawn to, or which team horses, of horses they
right.
feel drawn to.
Or which horse is drawn to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It provides more of an... opportunities for interaction, That being said, I have some horses that weren't there when a particular client had started. So their therapy team consists of the humans and the horses that were there when they first started. So I wouldn't necessarily, unless the client wanted to add another dynamic, I wouldn't change that therapy team for them.
What's so beautiful with the whole thing that you're doing is that it allows for so many other programs to come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just recently started the traumatic brain injury group, yes. which I think is going to be really important for the community well. And
yes.
so all these auxiliary but complementary things mm-hmm. are coming as
yes.
well. And there's a few others too that I noticed that I can't, maybe you can expand on
sure.
them.
So the brain injury support group I'm near and dear to my heart because as I alluded to earlier, I was in a car accident at 16. So, and what I've recently learned with is that brain injuries impact us for the rest of our lives. And while our brains are phenomenal at how they heal, it's nice to have that support to know that you're not alone in that. So I offer that brain injury support once a month. I think it's the third Wednesday of each month. And then other programs that we offer are the herd meditations that I mentioned. And then I have a mindful recovery from trauma. That group is starting up soon. And so what that group is about is we're going to spend the first hour of the learning about trauma and the neurobiology of trauma, how the brain reacts to trauma and how our nervous system reacts to trauma. And then we will move into the second hour of actually practicing mindfulness techniques.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, also on WIUN. Is there opportunities to volunteer?
Absolutely.
Oh, my. I mean, as a non-for-profit?
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe like a volunteer slash...
Muckers? Volunteer muckers?
Right. I mean, you can start with that job. Yeah, you can muck it out. But, I mean, you might even be something there that would bring them closer as a, quote, therapy. Is volunteer maybe in exchange for some of the therapy?
We can talk about that. There's some parameters around how to make sure that that's very successful.
Right.
So yeah, we can talk about that.
But you welcome volunteers.
We welcome volunteers. Yeah, absolutely. And there's all kinds of things to do at the farm. So there's mucking stalls, which I know sounds dirty, and it is, but it's also very therapeutic in its own right.
It's very everything's a meditation.
Right. And you really get to let go of some things, you know? I must be a horse person because I find that to be my happy place. But there's other things that you can do. We have some projects around the farm. I'd like to reinforce the barn with some plywood. So if you have a nail and the hammer, you can come out and help with that. You know, so there's all kinds of things.
And so we'll I have a link on our breck.com/AOTA page that links to your
thing.
So if you're interested in doing that and everything. Now you, what different kinds of horses do you have? I mean, they each have probably their own personality. So let's discuss them.
Okay. So the herd consists of, we have three horses and we have two mini horses.
Okay.
And a part of the Igala philosophy is we don't tell people what their names are.
Okay.
Which is quite fun, actually, because once we explain that, we don't share the name, and that gives people the freedom to assign their own name. So we have horses that have had female horses that had male names. We had male horses with female names. They tend to take on personalities and personas of whatever the client needs at the time. So that horse is just like my ex-husband, or this horse is just like my son. Or
he was horsing around.
Exactly. So you have the metaphors really truly come to life then. And then it's interesting as therapy continues how the relationship changes and then the names change. So it's true.
Starting, it becomes more personal, I mm-hmm. would imagine. Because mm-hmm. being at the herd meditation and listening to everybody describe each of the horses in their own way was very interesting.
Powerful.
What they choose to identify mm-hmm. that particular horse.
And when I was a client during the Igala training, right. I wasn't really a client, but I was a participant. And I named the horse my own name. I got really defensive over somebody else naming my horse that's a different name. I'm like, hey. So that tells us something, doesn't it? So it's fascinating.
Apparently the people don't check the undercarriage of the horse when they give a female horse a male name, vice versa. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, it, you know, it just meant what they needed right. at that time.
It's a whole different interaction. You should try to come to a herd meditation.
Oh, I hope you do.
I think you would really enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my spare time.
Got to make time for self-care.
He's a photographer. There's like great photographic animal. Those goats are so personable and funny. So
my daughter said that about goats. She wanted me to photograph them, and I found they were difficult to photograph because they move too fast. They don't stay in place, and they also want to
not Stacy's goats.
Okay.
They
want to charge you sometimes. You know, it's like I don't want to be pointing my $2,000 camera and lens. You know, it's.
Oh no, not our
horses. I think would be much better to photograph. They're such a beautiful animal to begin with. So
they are.
Now tell us about do you call them pony?
So are goats. Well, like a goat.
I'm just not a real goat person. She loves, she's like, love me, love my goats. And I said, that's fine, hon. You know, you can have your goats. But they are kind of smelly. That's one thing, they always like, okay, you can smell the goats. Anyway, you call them small horses. Or mini horses.
Yeah.
So are they like, is that label like pony or what's the difference?
No, it's all different classifications.
Yeah, there's a different classification.
Okay.
But they're miniature horses, so they're adorable, and they also have their own personality.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How the horses interact with each other?
They have their own herd dynamics, and they're much like humans in that they like other people or other horses, and they don't like other horses. So how they work that out is interesting to watch as well.
Now, they're all female or male, or you have a mix?
No, I have a mix.
Okay.
Were any of them family members? Like, were the minis, did they come together or everybody came individually?
They came individually. And the horses, two of the horses were donated to us. And so.
Does the male horse kind of dominate like a herd, or is that dynamic? I mean, in wild, that happens. You know, you got one male horse and a herd of mares. So.
Mm-hmm. And we have the two male horses will have their favorite mares.
Okay.
So there'll be that dynamic. And then for unknown reasons to me, because I'm not an equine specialist, that dynamic will change. And so it's interesting to watch.
The hierarchy.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible that you, I don't know if you can breed these horses or?
No, not, our geldings are.
They're geldings, mm-hmm.
So.
That would change the dynamic.
Yes. That would definitely change.
Tremendously. Because that explains their personality is.
Yes.
There would not be so much commingling if there was a stallion.
No, don't want to have the stallion running around. That explains then the dynamic. Very good.
Yeah.
I saw you had at one time a book signing out there.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Tim Hayes is an author that wrote the book Riding Home, I think is the title of it. Mm-hmm. And he was going to come out and do a clinic with with horses. But at that time, we had to reschedule it. So we're thinking about coming up next September and having him out. He wrote the book, and Robert Redford wrote the foreword of it.
Oh.
And he's quite a fantastic author. So if you have a chance to read the book, I encourage you to do so.
I see it on your website. So tell us what your website is. I mean, we do have a link on it, but go ahead.
It's www.anamkarastables.org. I'm going to spell it for you.
Yeah, go ahead. It's always good on radio.
A-N-A-M-C-A-R-A. STABLES.org. AnamKaraStables.org.
Okay, very good. So, and I do have a link on our Art in the Air page that we have, so we can find out more about Stacy and what she's doing. So,
thank you.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
It's very exciting and everything. Now, do you run year round? Or I mean, I know you talked about building an arena.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, like if someone comes in December,
so I can do talk therapy year round. So I have the therapy office there. I also have another office at the Healing Arts Center in Valpo if somebody wants to come see me there. So I do provide year round counseling services. We provide the equine assisted psychotherapy as long as weather's permitting. So and oftentimes if clients are willing to come out in rain or snow, it will play into the metaphor, it'll play into the story and how the horses interact with that. So horses are horses, they're okay being outside. So as long as we're bundled up and that's okay too. So but yes, the weather does impact us as far as being able to provide services.
So how much does it cost to keep a horse?
That's a good question.
I mean,
that
really?
Is a good question. You can sponsor a horse for $2,000 a year.
So you can get a horse and then it'll have a NIPSCO logo on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we have one horse that, well, we have two horses that are currently sponsored by other families. So I encourage anybody that wants to sponsor a horse, you can do that. And then you can also sponsor individual sessions as well, donate to veterans to be able to receive services or donate to classrooms.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing that Reins of Life does as well. You can mm-hmm. sponsor students.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you looking to get more horses?
At this time, no, because I would love to, but I need to build more pastures and build more shelter for them before I can take any more.
Okay, so you're not at that level yet, but is that a vision, though?
That's my vision. Okay. So I'd like to have, when we build the arena, have some stalls and build the herd. So
we talked a little bit, you said about retiring. Now, that's not coming up real soon, though.
No, not
You're
for
a
me.
Young lady,
yeah,
so.
Thank you very much. No, no, but the vision for Onamkara is to be a legacy to leave for the community. While it is my passion and my purpose, it's not just for me. This is really something that I want to leave long after I'm gone.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah. Is there anything that we've missed that we haven't asked you about?
Any other programs coming
any
up?
Programs?
That are, it seems like daily there seems to be someone else who approaches you and a new program starts.
So I do have some things coming up. So I have a workshop called Going with the Cosmic Flow, where Carol Lloyd will be coming to facilitate some astrology. And she's fantastic. And so that's all about going with your personal ebb and flow, and she will do your own reading. Now, I'm not an astrologer, so I can't speak more than that about it. But I also have coming up at the Healing Arts Center in Valpo, I have a mindful recovery from anxiety. So that's very similar to what's being offered at Onamkara for trauma, but this is for anxiety. And what anxiety can also, symptoms of that can be perfectionism. It can be obsessive about some things. It manifests differently in different people. So if you suffer from anxiety, this is a great group for you. Because we're going to spend that first hour learning about anxiety, how that manifests itself in the body, and then that second hour actually practicing together some mindfulness techniques. And then also at Healing Arts Center in Valpo, we're doing an LGBTQ support group as a way to provide a healthy, open way of communicating and acceptance and support of one another, particularly if it's not at a healthy place at home or in your home environment. So you have some recourse there. And then I hope to be able to start a veterans group at Onamkara very soon, because I miss working with the veterans at the vet center. So
So how young do you go?
We accept all ages. Okay. So we've had clients as young as 7, but we actually, I think our youngest was 6, but all ages and various parental involvement.
Oh, excellent. Well, this mm-hmm. has been a very interesting thing, Stacey. We appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. We're heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m. Your hosts are Larry Breckner, Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
He always keeps us on the air. Hey, our underwriters again are Valpo University, Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. And we're supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant, a part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, once again, send us information to your event. It's artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to have the Dunes Summer Theater, their final production of the season. It'll be Jeffrey Baumgartner, Amy Black, and they'll be talking about their current production of Working, a show that I'm very familiar with because it was the first thing I'd ever directed.
4 times, right, did you say?
4 times I've directed it, and wanted to get it right. And they're doing the newer version of it. So they're our future guests. We have some fun things. By the way, we're asking anyone who's been on the show, give us, if you want, send us an audio file with a shout out, and we're going to put it on. We're coming up on our first anniversary show on October 4th. So our Esther's and my honeymoon as hosts are there, so our first year. So anyway, thank you for listening right here on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a great week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.